testimonies. I'd like to ask you if you would to turn in your Bibles with me today to the 107th Psalm. I've got a few things here that I need to say. Psalm 107. Beginning with verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And you know, I'm going to stop for just a minute, and I'm going to say, if you've been redeemed, you ought to say so. Amen. Don't say it if you haven't got it. But let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. And I'm gonna skip down to verse 23 and read some. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. You know, when I read this 107th Psalm, and I'm sure that probably most of you here have read this before, but if you haven't, I'm sure that you noticed that in the reading of these verses and verse 1 through 32, and I omitted the reading of a few of them, but I'm sure that you noticed in these verses that there's something in them that is repetitive. In fact, there are actually a couple of different statements that are made multiple times. And I want to ask you to give your attention to that for just a few moments. Four times, I believe, in these verses that I read, we read the verse, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Also, four times in these verses we read, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Twice we read that in these verses in the past tense. Then they cried unto the Lord. And then we read it twice in present tense. Then they cry, or perhaps even somewhat future tense. But then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. And that's what I wanted to speak about for a few moments here today, about the time that people cry unto the Lord. Now, if you, just a few moments ago, when Brother Mike Wheat testified, he spoke about how that there was a time there in 1977 when he was saved, and he spoke about prior to his conversion, prior to being saved, that he found in him the greatest trouble that he had ever had. And he said, I cried unto the Lord. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what a wonderful, blessed promise that truly is. Whosoever, you know, aren't you glad that God made a whosoever will plan of salvation? Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And, you know, we find in the Scriptures, in the study of the Scriptures, we find at times throughout God's Word, actually time and time again, of what it actually means to call upon the name of the Lord. When I quote that verse from Romans chapter 10, verse 13, and when I instruct somebody by the help of God to, you know, and tell them, listen, if you are lost and without God, you need to call upon the name of the Lord. I'm not talking about, I'm not having reference when I tell somebody that to coming up and repeating a prayer, to coming up and saying, listen, you know, you just, I'll read this, what's called a sinner's prayer. I'll read this sinner's prayer here, and you repeat this prayer after me, and then, you know, you'll be saved, and you can just go back to your seat. That's not what I'm talking about, and I don't believe that's what the Bible was talking about at all when it talks about calling upon the name of the Lord. I believe it's talking about what we find here in this 107th Psalm. I believe that when the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, it's talking about those who cry from the very depths of their inner being, from the very depths of their soul, that they cry out to God for mercy, for grace, for life everlasting. That's what I did, and the Lord saved me by his grace. When do people do that? I mean, when do people really cry unto the Lord? And you know, we have a world around us today, and they have been doing this for a while. We have a religious world around us today, and you know what they're telling people? They're telling them that there is absolutely no need for that stuff. They call it foolishness. They're telling them that all of this stuff about conviction and feeling bad about yourself and getting down before God and moaning and groaning and praying and crying and all these things are not necessary. All you've got to do, you know, God is a God of love. All you've got to do is just accept what he did, accept his finished work on Calvary, and you'll be fine. All of that stuff is not necessary. But listen, folks, there's a Bible that's just full of experiences like that that people had where they cried out to God for mercy. And they cried out in times of great trouble. That's what we were reading about here in this psalm. We were reading about those that were in captivity, and I don't believe that we would be stretching this at all to believe that this 107th psalm, the first part of it, was in reference to Israel's captivity in Babylon. I believe that's probably what it was making reference to. And in captivity of how they cried unto the Lord, and the result in these in this verse that repeats itself, the result is always the same when people cry unto the Lord. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Later on in the chapter, it talks about the mariners. It talks about those that go out and work in the sea and how they see the great power of God upon the waves and with the wind, and how that it disrupts the sea to the point where it begins to toss them about, and they stagger across perhaps the deck of the ship like a drunken man, and they come to the point where they reach their, the Bible says, where they reach their wit's end. You know, that's what I did. Just before the Lord saved me, I had reached my wit's end. The only thing that could help me was God and his mercy. That's the distress that I was in when I called upon him. You know, we don't come here, and we've heard testimonies made today, and we have heard people today share their request. We do that here at Fairview Memorial. We do that. I've known many Missionary Baptist churches that do that very same thing. We come together and we give a space of time in our worship. We give an opportunity for people to make their petitions known, for people to make their requests, so that other people may know what's going on in their lives, and to help them to pray that God would help them. And I believe that we ought to do that, and I'm glad that we do that in our services. I'm thankful that we are not in such a big hurry, that we're not on a program like many are, where we cannot take the time to share our burdens with each other. We ought to know how that we can help one another, and I'm thankful to God that that's a part of our service. But you know, when we do that, if you listen to what people are saying, you know, when we give a time for people to make their request, I'm sure you notice as well as I have that people don't stand up and say, Brother Pastor, I need the prayers of the church today. You know, everything in my life right now is perfect. I've just got such great peace all around me. I sat down this week to pay my bills, and when I got finished paying my bills, I had a bunch of money left over. And then if that wasn't enough, you know, later on in the week, my boss, he called me in, he gave me a wage increase. Nobody in my family is sick. Nobody is suffering in any way. My health is great. Would you please pray that God would deliver me out of this? We don't make requests like that, do we? We share our problems. We share our troubles. And it's not in those type of situations. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that people only pray when they're feeling bad. I mean, we give thanks to God through our prayers, and we ought to certainly do that. But we share our burdens with each other. We share our troubles with each other. And I'll tell you something, friends. It's when people are in trouble that they really cry out unto the Lord. And, you know, we need to give thanks for the times that we are up on the mountaintop. We surely need to give thanks to God for his goodness and mercy in our life. But I believe in our Christian walk that we benefit greatly from the valleys because we get close to God when we're in the valleys. You know, when you're down in the valley, I'm sure you've heard it said, when you're down and out, down in the valley, there's only one way to look, and that's up. And it's in the valleys that we learn, I believe, that we learn about God. We learn about His power in our lives. We learn about what He is able to do. And we today are just like these people were in the day when this 107th Psalm was written. We are like people have always been in our trouble and in our trials in life. We cry mightily unto God for His help. For His help. What do we find recorded concerning David in Psalm 116? I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death can pass me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And what did he say that immediately followed that? I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Listen to what the psalmist said here about these working out on the sea. They go down to the sea in ships. They do business in great waters. They see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lift up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. They're making that ship rise and fall, rise and fall. Any of you ever been out on rough water, you know exactly what this psalm is talking about. The waves rise up. The waves drop, and it affects the balance of the ship. They reel to and fro. They stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord. In that condition, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. Let me tell you something. Thankful for the friends that God has blessed me with in life. I'm thankful for my brothers and my sisters in the Lord. I'm thankful to have people in my life that I can talk with. But I'll tell you what, when I've got trouble, I'd rather have God than anybody else in the world. I'd rather go talk to the Lord about it. Because God is a God that shines in times of trouble. How many of you today, you just think about it. How many of you can relate to times in your life of great trouble, great trials, great distress? Something happened in your life that you just had to have strength. You had to have strength from somewhere to get through it. And you were able to find out in those moments exactly what we find recorded in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help when in trouble. In trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Think about what was said here about these people out on this ship working, and how that the wind and the waves were tossing that ship around. And he said, then they cry unto the Lord, and He delivers them out of their distresses. And then the psalmist said, there is a calm that comes. That peace that comes when you have cried out to the Lord in your troubles, and He delivers you out of your distresses, as we're told here. And it says, He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. You know, there was a time in my life when God calmed my trouble, and he brought me to my desired haven. There was something I was seeking for, and God brought me to that. I want to share just a few verses with you. I'm not going to try not to take very long here, but I want to share a few verses with you that I made note of. Psalm 9, verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of what? In times of trouble. Psalm chapter 50, verses 14 and 15. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High God, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You know, the children of Israel, they committed a horrible evil against the Lord. They began to make themselves idols, idol gods. And they began to actually worship those idols as being the God that had delivered them in the past. They actually began to give credit to those idols for delivering them out of captivity. And we find in Isaiah chapter 46 where Isaiah was talking about that, how that he was talking about them taking their gold and different types of material and taking that and shaping it and fashioning that and making it into an idol. And then what they would do is they would take that idol and they would have to pick it up and bear it on their shoulder, and they would have to carry it someplace and sit it down. And here's what Isaiah said would happen in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 7. He's speaking about those idols. He said, they bear him up on the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. I'll tell you what, when people get in trouble, there's only one place to go. In Jeremiah chapter 2, he spoke about what Israel had done. In verse 13, he said, as the thief is ashamed, so is the house of Israel, because they have committed two evils. First evil was they have forsaken me, God. They have forsaken God, the fountain of living waters. The second evil was that they had hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, which cannot hold any water. And we find further on in that second chapter, we find the Lord rebuking them, and we find the result of what happened there and how that they would worship these things. And let me read this again. I misquoted the first one, the first verse. It's actually Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 26, I believe it is. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets. Now listen to what they would do. Saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But listen, listen to what they do. But in the time of their trouble, they will arise, or they will say, arise and save us. Where did they go? What did they do? They take these idols and they build these idols and they take them and they set them someplace and they worship them and they give glory to those idols and they give credit to those idols for having delivered them. And then here comes trouble. here comes something in their life that troubles them, that brings fear upon them and brings them into a distressful situation. And what do? They don't run to those idols. God said, when that trouble comes, you don't run to those idols and call upon them, do you? Then you come to me and you say, Lord, save us. And in the next verse, I believe that God was certainly angry with them for living that way and doing that and forsaking him that way. And in verse 28, he said, where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. They had a god for every city, didn't they? You know, sometimes I'm afraid that today, as the people of God, sometimes I'm afraid we call upon the Lord in times of great trouble. God comes and he delivers us out of our distresses. And the next thing you know, we're not even thinking about it. Not even thinking about it. But there's two things that are said over and over in that 107th Psalm that I believe they were intended to go together every time. And that being that the Lord heard them when they called unto him in their trouble and delivered them out of all their distresses. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And folks, listen, we should never rob God of his glory. We ought to proclaim it publicly. We ought to proclaim it privately. In our prayer closets, when nobody else can hear, we ought to thank God for his goodness. In public, where others can hear, we ought to thank the Lord for his goodness. God, I don't believe there's ever been anybody as mistreated by their children as God has been. God has been robbed by us far too many times. There are so many things that God has blessed us with, and we ought to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is so good. His mercy endures forever. We ought to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Bible doesn't tell us, let the redeemed of the Lord be quiet. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let us publish it. Let us publish what the Lord has done for us. We thank him and we glorify him in that way by making it known what he has done for us and what he has blessed us with. I want to talk to you for just a moment, if you're here today and you're lost. I found myself one time in great trouble. I know exactly. You know, when I read the 116th Psalm, I know exactly what he was talking about. I can remember that in my soul. I can remember that great trouble that I had. It was trouble like I had never felt. It was fear like I had never felt. The sorrows of death did come past me. I was afraid of death. Death was a fearful thought to me. The sorrows of that come past me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And you know, if you find out, if you look closely at what the scriptures teach us, and if you go a little bit further in that psalm, you'll find out that David did not only say that he had sorrow and he had death, but he said that he was brought low. I'll tell you what, friends, I still believe today that God convicts people of their sin. He'll make you feel bad before he makes you feel good. He did with me. He showed me exactly what I was. He showed me that I was a lost and ruined sinner. He showed me that I had no hope outside of him. God made it known to me what I really looked like in his sight. And he brought trouble and sorrow upon me. And it was in that condition, just like we find in Psalm 116, in Psalm 107, it was in that time of trouble. And I'm not telling you, I'm not talking to you and saying today that in order to get saved that you've got to have some kind of great calamity going on in your life. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you that everybody, I believe that everybody, before they get saved, they have got a troubled heart. A troubled heart. And they bring that to the Lord. And they cry out to God. And he saves them out of their distresses. If you're troubled here today, if you're troubled, you need to come to the Lord. You don't need the world. That's not what you need. You know what? A lot of people, they try to go and they try to drown the sorrows of life in alcohol. They try to drown the sorrows of life in drugs or some other type of immorality. You know what? That won't deliver them. That won't deliver them any more than those idols that they set up would deliver those people out of their troubles. You know what? A person that's got troubles, if they go and they try to take those troubles and they try to drown them in alcohol, you know what'll happen? The next day, they'll still have their troubles, and the only change will be that their body will be sick. They'll be sick on top of it. It won't get rid of a thing. Only the Lord can deliver us out of trouble. And that great trouble that I'm talking about in a person's soul, when they are lost, they're without God. If you've got that today, you're not going to get any relief anywhere other than at the feet of Jesus. That's it. He's the only one that can deliver you out of your distresses. So let's stand and have a song. And I would to God today that you would bring your troubles to the Lord. Cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. He cares for you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Take God at his promise and call upon him. Seek him for salvation.